next is the Old Mole Variety Hour. This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from the Clinton Street Theater, featuring independent and revival films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show every Saturday at midnight, as well as the monthly KABU Movie Night. The Clinton Street Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th in Portland. Schedule and information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com. This program has also been made possible in part by a grant from Friends of KABU, supporting locally produced, organically grown, homemade programming for Portland and the world. Thanks, KABU, for 45 years of music, current affairs, and live broadcasts.
Recognizing a communist, physical appearance counts for nothing. If he openly declares himself to be a communist, we take his word for it. If a person consistently reads and advocates the views expressed in a communist publication, he may be a communist. If a person supports organizations which reflect communist teachings, or organizations labeled communist by the Department of Justice, she may be a communist. If a person defends the activities of communist nations while consistently attacking the domestic and foreign policy of the United States, she may be a communist. If a person does all these things over a period of time, he must be a communist. But there are other communists who don't show their real faces, who work more silently.
Wish I was a mole in the ground. Wish I was a mole in the ground. 'Cause if I was a mole in the ground, I'd tear those mountains down.
You are listening to the Old Mole Variety Hour, where we tear down the mountains of oppression and wealth. We are a socialist, feminist, anarchist, Marxist, non-commercial collective. The Old Mole is brought to you by KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. On today's show, which is a membership drive, we'll hear Bill Resnick talk with John James about hospital errors and hundreds of thousands of deaths they cause each year. They unpack the ways that our profit-driven so-called healthcare system encourage the decisions that lead to the errors, but also what's needed to change. Bill will also be talking live with Michael Cox to summarize the Affordable Care Act and its particular implications for Oregonians looking to get in on the healthcare exchanges. Clayton Morgeridge examines the class politics behind the Republican resistance to affordable healthcare in a well-read read about the federal government shutdown. He reminds us of how German capitalists 80-some-odd years ago empowered reactionary Nazis to undermine an increasingly agitated working class grouping towards organization and self-preservation. We saw how that turned out. Finally, Fran Michel also brings us an anti-imperialist, anti-racist, well-read read. This time, it's about Indigenous Rights Day, or Columbus Day. She'll be talking about the repressed history of Indigenous oppression and the recent history of challenging and even overturning its heroic place in American culture. Now, though, we turn to Bill Resnick and John James to talk about medical errors, profit-driven so-called health care, and the many hundreds of thousands of preventable deaths it causes.
Hi, John James. Welcome to KABU.
Thank you, Bill. It's my pleasure to be with you.
John James is a toxicologist with the U.S. government, one of the experts in his field with over 100 scientific publications. In 2002, he lost a healthy, athletic 19-year-old son to a series of physician and hospital errors. He began investigating his son's death. It started him on a path of research into preventable hospital deaths and produced several scholarly articles and one book. The book's title is A Sea of Broken Hearts, Patient Rights in a Dangerous Profit-Driven Health System. It exposed the staggering number of preventable patient deaths in U.S. hospitals. John James, go into more detail of what happened and led you into a life of medical research.
Well, originally I got interested in medical research because I enjoyed studying diseases and learning them. I earned a PhD in pathology from a medical school in Baltimore. And I never thought I'd really use that on a personal level. But as you mentioned in your introduction, I had a son who died while running, actually, in 2002. And he had been seen for 5 days in a hospital before that. And they couldn't make a diagnosis. And they only told him not to run when he was fully drugged up with Versed. Unfortunately, a week or two later, he was running and collapsed and died. When I looked at the care he had received and based on his medical records, which were not easy to get, I realized a lot of mistakes had been made. Mistakes in not following guidelines, misdiagnosis, and so on. And then I began to look at the bigger picture, and I realized my son was not the only victim of medical error. In fact, medical errors were horrifying in number, and lethal ones, in fact, probably the third leading cause of death.
Why don't you go into that in more detail, the various studies that you look to and the basis of those estimates and the numbers?
Okay. Really, there were three studies, and they didn't come along until 2010 and 2011. One study was by the Office of Inspector General of the Department of Health and Human Services. He and his team looked at the number of adverse events in Medicare patients in 1 month in 2008, and from that they could estimate the number of adverse events of all Medicare patients throughout the nation. Another study by a guy named Landergan looked at whether medical errors were decreasing in hospitals in North Carolina. That's a state where there was a lot of thought that they were getting better at eliminating hospital errors. It turned out they weren't. And then another study by an MD named David Clausen looked at the number of adverse events in tertiary care hospitals. Those are ones that see or tend to see the most complicated and sickest patients. And so when those studies were published, each one by itself would not tell you what's going on in the nation, but put together, which is what I tried to do in my Journal of Patient Safety article published just last month, you get a clear picture of the number of adverse events. And then you have to ask which of these are preventable, and a substantial proportion of them are preventable.
And there's also the earlier study, right, the Harvard study, which estimated 100,000 deaths. Now, these other studies, when you look at specific institutions, like in Medicare, where there was 180,000 deaths estimated for the year, they got a much larger number.
Yes, they did. And the study you're referring to, the Harvard study, was actually done in 1984 and was sort of magnified, if you will, by the Institute of Medicine in 1999 in their book, To Err is Human. And that's often quoted as sort of the benchmark of the number of people that die from medical errors in hospitals.
That's 100,000 a year, which is bad enough. It's like one Boeing 747 going down a day in the United States. But in fact, you found that it's probably much closer, somewhere between 300,000 and 500,000 deaths a year.
Yeah, exactly, Bill. If you look at the way the more modern studies were done, those from 2010 and 2011, they had a much better tool called the Global Trigger Tool to find the preventable adverse events. And that tool also overlooked some things that the IOM study or the Harvard study from 1984 overlooked. Errors of omission. Was there something that should have been done for the patient that wasn't? Other errors that tend to not be in the older studies are errors of communication and diagnostic errors. And finally, the thing that's often missing is any record of the mistake in the medical record of the patient. Very often, I'm sad to say, those medical records are adjusted to minimize the chance that an adverse event will actually be detected.
Yeah, the doctors cover their bottoms, I guess, and the records are often reflect not what really happened, but what the doctor would have was hoped that happened. And that's only, of course, the deaths. It's hard to estimate how many errors didn't lead to death, but led to disability or long-term pain or much lowered life expectancy. What's your estimate of that?
Well, the studies that I mentioned a little bit earlier did look at what they called serious medical errors that weren't lethal. And those tended to be about 10-fold to 20-fold higher than lethal medical errors. And by serious, I mean anything that would cause you to spend more time in the hospital on down to permanent disability. Those are considered serious medical errors that are not lethal.
This is KBOO Radio 90.7 FM. Bill Resnick for the Old Mole Variety Hour, talking to John James, who, after his son died, he was a toxicologist, actually trained in medical school. He began studies of patient deaths in hospitals through errors, preventable patient deaths, and he found a staggering amount of patient death. John James, there's many reasons for it. Why don't we go through fairly quickly again the reasons, and then we can talk about the changes, the way the medical system has to be transformed to actually meet people's needs for good health and decent care.
Okay, Bill, I think what you're asking is what I think the root causes are of this kind of carnage, if you will, of medical errors. I think one thing is a lot of treatment paradigms are very complex, and it's an invitation to make errors because these patients often are very sick. And the time that the doctor spends in looking at the patient's records and so on can be very limited. In many cases, the records aren't complete. There's been studies that have shown that many of these medical records in hospitals are very poorly done. Hopefully, the IT revolution will help that. Some of the other things, the way doctors do continuing education, I feel is very poor and certainly does not give me assurance as a patient that my doctor is current with his knowledge.
Yeah. In your son's case, for example, they should have done something. They would have, if they had done it, they would have discovered precisely what syndrome he had and been able to give him the very cheap and easy medications, just potassium increase, that would have left him able to exercise without problems of heart failure.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They had to put two things together. One, his potassium was low. That was obvious. But the other thing was the arrhythmias in his electrocardiogram. You had to know enough to put those two things together and say, this young man needs potassium replacement according to evidence-based guidelines. But, of course, if you don't know those guidelines because you haven't kept on up on continuing medical education, then you're not going to make that connection.
The final in your book, at least one of the other major root causes, was the fragmentation of the medical system and the fee-for-service system, which leads to, because of the fragmentation, doctors bounce ping-pong people back and forth to many places. No doctor really knows what's going on. All of them, however, are charging, which is why the U.S. medical system spends twice as much as any other country with poorer results. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, the many other countries have developed a centralized system, and those that are opposed to it would call it socialized medicine, but they have an integrated system where the patient has its medical records. For example, in France, there's a little card everyone has, and that has their medical records right on it, just like a credit card. And so there's immediate access if you, for example, collapse somewhere or are shot and you go to the emergency room. There's your medical records. That's not so in the U.S. They may never have your medical records. You show up in the ER, you're sick, and they don't know who you are medically. And the other thing is the rush. The fee-for-service tends to encourage doctors to do their things quickly and maybe superficially, particularly if they're being pushed by the administration of the hospital. So it's an invitation for medical errors.
And they're pushed to do it by the hospital because the hospitals are pushing patients through. They want to serve as many patients as possible to get as much reimbursement as possible to pay for these vastly expensive machines, especially the technology, vastly expensive technology, new buildings. This whole apparatus of bonded hospital costs leads to just this tremendous overuse and tremendous incentives to just keep attracting more patients, more processes, more drugs, all of them, of course, charged to employers, or finally the U.S. government, which pays maybe half of all of those costs.
Yeah, I could not have said it better, Bill. That's exactly right. It's not a system that's patient-centered. It's centered on the income of the medical industry.
This is KBOO Radio, 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon. Bill Resnick talking to John James, who did the book, A Sea of Broken Hearts, Patient Rights in a Dangerous Profit-Driven Health System. John, how do we, in fact, develop a health system that actually cares for patients and doesn't injure them or kill them in such high numbers?
Well, there's a number of different things that need to happen. Probably first, you need to get rid of the fee-for-service system. You've got to hold doctors and hospitals accountable for the quality of the care they're giving in a very thorough way. There's some self-reporting now, but self-reporting has obvious limitations. You've got to improve the education system for everybody involved, including doctors and nurses, so that they really know what they're doing. And I think finally you have to slow up the pace a little bit and make sure doctors have enough time to spend with their patients and aren't spending a lot of time doing paperwork or stuff that they never went to medical school to learn and to deal with, because the doctor's time is very precious.
In the book, you've discussed the need for the medical home for some kind of integrated system where the patient is known by the doctors and where the medical records are available to any emergency physicians.
Yes, that would be an ideal situation. And honestly, a lot of people my age and older people, they travel a lot. You know, suppose you're from Florida and you're visiting Alaska and you have your first heart attack. How do those doctors get your medical record quickly and completely? And if you have a medical home, or you have your medical records with you in some form, it's going to help keep you alive. But there's not much movement in that area right now, as far as I know.
One final thing, John. You are advocating a patient bill of rights. Tell us what the impact would that would be on the system.
Well, the Bill of Rights is designed to pry open the system so that it's transparent to patients, so they know the quality of a hospital, they know the quality of the doctor, they know what it's going to cost beforehand, and they know if something bad happens, they are involved in understanding what happened and in forcing the hospital or doctor to fix the root cause of the adverse event. And there's a number of other things. But if patients really had a Bill of Rights that mattered, this whole system would be turned on its head and get fixed very quickly.
But also structural changes to sort of end the fee-for-service system and all the bouncing of patients and the overdiagnosis and overuse and dangerous procedures.
Absolutely. You've got to hold doctors accountable for doing dangerous procedures. I see that things go by on the Internet all the time about some doctors that are sticking in stents right and left and killing patients that don't even need them. And that kind of thing really should be held criminally accountable as far as I'm concerned.
John James, really good talking to you. Keep up the good work. Thanks so much.
Bill, thank you.
Right.
It's been my pleasure.
So long.
You're tuned to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. We were just listening to Bill Resnick and John James talking about preventable deaths and medical errors in the profit-driven healthcare system. We're now going to turn to Jen Davis and Ani Haynes to hear why KBOO needs your support.
Well, I think after hearing that interview, Joe, it's obvious. KBOO brings you the information that we need to actually live informed lives. That was a hard-hitting interview with John James, and we thank Bill Resnick for his hard work and research that he does every week for the Old Mole Variety Hour to bring forth the hidden truths of capitalism, the ugliness that is there in this corrupt system that, well, you know, you tune to KBOO so that you can get that straight dish. You tune here because this informs you. This actually gets you thinking about how we structure our systems, our healthcare systems. I mean, this is life and death stuff. And we bring it to you, the undercurrents, the unseen truths. And that's why it's well worth your support. Right now, when you dial 877-500-5266, and this is a very exciting moment. Jen, we have a matching period. Can you let our listeners know what that does?
Yes, this is the time to donate. This is the time to become a member because you can double the impact of your donation without a single extra dollar out of your pocket. If you give $10 a month, that $10 will be doubled per month. A longtime KBOO member has made a very generous offer to match the next $600 in donations called in during today's Old Mole Variety Hour, but only for this program. So don't delay. Go to your phone right now. Call 877-500-5266. Or you can go to kboo.fm and donate some money. Help keep programs that are so significant on the air.
It is important that you do so because, well, again, this is how we pay the bills here. We are listener-supported, and we have a thank you gift. If this interview interested you, and I dare say it should, I've been listening, and it's really some horrifying statistics, but there is a book that John James wrote that Bill was talking about, A Sea of Broken Hearts, and we can get you a copy of that book as your thank you gift for your $60 contribution here at KBOO. And again, that number is 877-500-5266. It's so important that we hear from you right now because we have that matching period. It's only until 10 o'clock. We would love to see $600 raised right about now so we can match the $600 donated by this generous, longtime KBOO member. That's the essence of community, working together to, in fact, fund what is important to us, and that is KBOO Community Radio, 877-500-5266. We have to raise $1,800 for the Old Mole this morning. We can do it with your help, 877-500-5266.
Well, I said I really didn't think I had the urge to purchase, and in any case, my cash was running low. His eyes beamed out a warning and his smile got kind of stormy, and he said there's just one thing you ought to know. It's people like you that are letting down the country when our democratic freedoms are at stake. Cause if you don't buy, the wheels will start to falter, and after that it's on with a break. Then confidence will be destroyed and minions will be unemployed and anarchy will run from Addis Harmony. So tell me, sir, do you prefer to be a lousy saboteur or help to boost the national economy? Because production only rises and investments only boom when the demand stimulates the supply. then everyone will prosper. So I hope it's very plain that it's your patriotic duty to buy.
You're tuned to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. Up next, we're going to turn back to Bill Resnick, who's going to be talking with Michael Cox about the Affordable Care Act and its particular implications for Oregonians looking to get in on the exchanges or otherwise benefits. Bill.
Thanks, Joe. And it is your patriotic duty not to buy it, but to become members of KBOO, really. Without the dissenting group forces in America, this really would be bleak. And bleak for all of us, and bleak for my life and for yours, too. The interview you just heard before our first membership drive discussion, that interview with John James was, of course, how hospitals and doctors commit so many errors. Still, good medical care is necessary for good health and a good long life. Obamacare does go part of the way there. Michael Cox, welcome to KBOO. Michael Cox is a spokesperson for Cover Oregon. Tell us about Cover Oregon, and then we'll get into how the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, actually greatly benefits nearly everyone. What's Cover Oregon?
Great. Thanks for having me here today. Cover Oregon is a brand new healthcare marketplace where Oregonians can go. They can get apples to apples comparisons, one health insurer against another. They can get financial help to pay for that coverage, and they can enroll in coverage that's right for them and their family's budget.
Now, you're the exchange, and ultimately people will be coming to you and finding out the healthcare, not just the insurance possibilities that they have, but also the kinds of subsidies and benefits that they, depending on income levels, that people are entitled to.
Yeah, that's right. You know, right now, Oregonians can go to CoverOregon.com. They can start to browse plans. They can get connected with a community partner or agent in their area that can help them get started with coverage. And then later in October, they'll be able to come back to Cover Oregon and complete the whole process on their own if they choose.
Yeah, let's get into what the Affordable Care Act does for the various classes of people. So what if a person has health insurance from their employers? It impacts them as well.
Well, it does. You know, if you have health care through your employer right now, you don't really have to do anything, but you're still going to reap some of the benefits of the Affordable Care Act. You know, namely, all health plans have to include at least 10 essential health benefits. Those are things like preventive care, prescription drugs, doctor visits, things like that. And you know, you have a yearly out-of-pocket maximum that you can pay now. But the real benefits are going to go to those who are currently uninsured or those who are unsatisfied with their insurance that they get on the individual market.
Let's talk about those latter people first, that is, who are buying insurance on the market now. How does it help them?
Well, if you are buying coverage on the individual market right now and you're not satisfied with your coverage or you think you're paying too much, you can go to CoverOregon.com and shop around. We have, in some areas, up to 11 insurance carriers who offer coverage, and we're going to make sure to tell you if you're eligible for programs like the Oregon Health Plan, whether you're eligible for tax credits to pay for coverage, and we're going to give you a lot of options and choice in plans so that you can choose one that's right for you and right for your family.
And the uninsured, people who have no stable health care, who wind up in emergency rooms and sometimes can pay a little and sometimes can't and sometimes go bankrupt and lose everything more than sometimes. What do you have for what's on the exchange for them?
Well, you know, right now in Oregon, there are about 600,000 uninsured Oregonians. And we estimate that maybe 400,000 Oregonians, whether you have insurance or not, will be eligible for tax credits to help pay for that coverage. We expect through the end of 2014 that we'll enroll about 217,000 of those folks, and then more and more in the years to come. We really are designed to get people who currently are uninsured, get them covered.
What should people do today? Cover Oregon, that is the exchange. You're not just the marketplace. Somehow people can, in fact, you find out a huge number of things, and you are able to evaluate the various offerings and also learn about the kinds of subsidies. Cover Oregon is not yet, the website is not yet quite up and running, is that right?
Sure. And,
but still, there's a lot of information on it. But what could people do if they really want to find out where they stand? There's other ways of doing it.
Sure. I mean, I think today you should go to coveroregon.com. You can estimate your eligibility for plans like the Oregon Health Plan or Healthy Kids, and also get an idea of what kind of tax credits you might receive if you buy private insurance through the exchange. You can find a community partner or agent in your area that can help you get started. And then later in October, of course, we'll have the site fully up and running, and you can go ahead and enroll in coverage right there.
Mm-hmm. One final thing. We only have another 30 seconds, but there are agencies, that is, groups all over Portland in this region within our signal who can help people navigate the system. Is that right? What are the ones, let's say, in Southeast Portland?
That's right. Well, you know, we have, groups like the Urban League and Northwest Families. But if you go onto our website, and we have a nice little searchable database, so if you put Multnomah County or Washington County or Clackamas County, and you can find community partners in your area, and we list all their contact information, you can call them up.
Yeah. And you have quite a while, not quite a while, it should be done soon, but there is time to, in fact, learn about it and enroll. And you're shaking your head yes, and that's going to be your last word. We'll have you on again, Michael. Michael Cox of Cover Oregon. Thanks a lot for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Bill and Michael. Now we're going to turn back to Ani and Jen, who are going to be telling you why you need to enroll in KABU, as it were.
Well, you need to enroll in KABU because KABU is one of those services that supports you and supports your entire community throughout your day, really throughout your life. You can tune to 90.7 or 104.3 or 99.1, whichever frequency you may pick us up on if you're in the valley or out in the gorge. But here in Portland, 90.7, to know that you can get relevant information, news you can use, news that inspires and informs and keeps us together doing right action so that we can create good, meaningful social change together. That is the essence of KABU, and well worth a call right now with your pledge of support. Think about supporting us at just $10 a month. It's so easy to do right now. If you have gainful employment, if you are actually employed, think about giving 1 hour's month every, or 1 hour's wage every month. I think that's an excellent way to spread around the support for your community radio station. 877-500-5266 is that number, 877-500-5266, online at kboo.fm. It's so important that you do so right now, though, because we have this matching period only until 10 o'clock.
That's right.
We have $600 ready to match yours.
You can double your impact right now of your donation without any extra money out of your pocket. You can double it. So this is the time to call. If you've been waiting, listening to our information, you know that this is important. We all need to be thinking about our health. We know that healthcare reform is in the making. You're getting vital information every day right here on KABU. Double your impact by giving us a call at 877-500-5266. We've got this matching period. A longtime KABU member has made a very generous offer to match the next $600.
And I want to thank Janice in Northeast Portland for renewing, Norm in Southeast Portland for renewing, and Michael in North Portland, a brand new member. It's excellent to hear from all three of you this morning. Please do pick up the phone right now and join Janice, Norm, and Michael in joining or renewing your membership to KABU right now, helping us make the $600 match. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. We still have a couple of copies of that book by John James Left. If you were listening at the top of the hour, you heard a really hard-hitting interview with Bill Resnick interviewing John James. A Sea of Broken Hearts is the name of the book, talking about patients' rights in a dangerous, profit-driven health system. Again, this is information we all need to live informed lives and to do some organizing around, because it's an abysmal situation and we got to change it. And the only way that we can make actual social change and make it stick is to do it together. It's collective action that gets the goods, friends. And right now, the collective action you can take that enables so much more is calling your community radio station. Help us make the $600 match this morning and, bring it in for your community radio station. We are yours by the community and of the community. So right now, the community needs to step forward and pay for it with just a little money. 877 877- 800-500-5266. $10 a month. It sustains us year in and year out, month in and month out. And you know that your $10 is adding together with all these other $10 pieces, and it actually comes up with funding for your community radio station, independent media, so that we can be as truthful as we need to be.
Well, we're not only truthful, but we're in depth. I mean, already this morning, you have learned ways that you can get better medical coverage for yourselves or your loved ones, as well as some serious deficits that we're seeing in our medical system and ways that they could be addressed. You can get a book for a $60 minimum pledge by John James called The Sea of Broken Hearts, or The Patient's Rights it's called The Patient's Rights in a Dangerous Profit-Driven Health System. And that's a significant book that tells us about the serious medical errors that are causing thousands of deaths in our country every year. Call 877-500-5266. We've got to double your impact of your donation without any extra money out of your pocket. A longtime KBOO member has made a very generous offer. It'll match your next $600 in donations. So if you call in right now to your OMO Variety Hour, but only for this program, folks. So don't delay.
That's right. This is your moment. And actually, I got to say, all the phones, I think all the phones are in fact lit up. That's excellent. Keep those cards and letters coming. We do need to continue to hear from you. If you don't get us right away, do try back. 877-500-5266. We have an $1,800 goal to raise for the Old Mole Variety Hour this morning. It seems a little hefty, but I know one person at a time, that's the way to go, right? We all do what we can to add up to great, great things, like achieving the $125,000 goal overall for this fall's membership drive and keeping your support of KBOO strong. So 877-500-5266 is the number to call. I also want to thank Bread and Ink Cafe at 3610 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, Brecken Kitchen at 1800 Northwest 16th Avenue, and El Forno Farusa Pizzeria at 2738 Northeast Alberta Street. And we want to thank you when you make your call at 877-500-5266. Please do give us a call right now, 877-500-5266.
And I want to thank you, Ani and Jen. I want to thank KBOO. I want to thank all of our supporters and you gentle listeners out there, because, you know, it's not just something that we provide for you, but it is something that we as a community are providing for each other. And KBOO, I can say personally, has changed my life. I know personally that it has changed the lives of many other people. And it's much more than a product. It's a social experiment that's been going on for almost a half century, going on a half century now. And we'd like it to go on for another half century, though. Hopefully we won't have the same problems. Up next, though, Clayton Morgeridge will be discussing some more of our current social struggles by looking at the government shutdown in the context of Republicans' resistance to affordable health care and the class considerations for why they might be doing that.
We don't know when the U.S. government will reopen for business or if it will default on its debts. But why is the Tea Party fringe of the Republican Party both able and willing to risk economic catastrophe and the future of their party in order to prevent the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare? What is it that frightens the opposition so profoundly that they are willing to play chicken with us all as passengers? And why does the financial elite, which after all calls so many political shots in this money-driven system, allow the crazies the power to cripple the system which the super-rich need in order to keep their profits coming in? Well, would a default on the national debt really be a disaster? Well, here are some of the consequences of a default, according to David Dayan, writing in Salon. A massive reduction in federal spending, and thus a significant hit to gross domestic product. If one of the missed payments is to a holder of U.S. debt, then that could cause credit markets to freeze, the U.S. dollar to plummet, and financial institutions to struggle to secure short-term lending on which they rely. With the dollar and the U.S. Treasury bond serving as a benchmark for world markets, Businessweek says that the resulting global apocalypse would dwarf the implosion of Lehman Brothers that precipitated the 2008 financial crisis. And it would injure the perceived stability of U.S. debt, maybe forever. Now notice that this scenario is calamitous not only for the bottom 60 or 80 or 99% of us, but for the 1% as well. So one has to wonder if the ruling elite has lost control of the political situation. Well, more about that in a moment. Dayan goes on to point out that in the past, government spending has helped to lift the country out of recessions. But, he asks, do we seriously think that these legislators will react to a serious economic calamity in the normal fashion by enacting an economic stimulus program? No. This gang that couldn't shoot straight has no interest in a massive Keynesian boost to kickstart the economy. It just won't happen. So the consequence of default would be not just a disaster, but a prolonged disaster. Again, we have to wonder, how did the masters of the economy lose control of the politics? Amanda Marcotte in Alternet argues that the Republican Tea Party craziness boils down to the craziness of Christian fundamentalism. The reason for the far right's lack of concern about a financial apocalypse causing a worldwide depression is that a handful of wide-eyed fundamentalist fanatics in Congress have hijacked the party. The Tea Party base and the hard right politicians driving this entire thing seem oblivious to the consequences. And that's no wonder, since so many of them, particularly those in leadership, are fundamentalist Christians whose religions have distorted their worldview until they cannot actually see what they're doing and what kind of damage it would cause. Well, again, the question arises, how did the hard-headed managers and owners of capital allow these fanatics so much political power? Doug Henwood asks a similar question. It's something of a mystery, he says, whom the current Republican Party represents. Surely it's not classical Wall Street interests, because they wouldn't be playing chicken with the status of Treasury bonds. It makes you have to rethink everything you thought about capitalist power in the state. More recently, though, Henwood suggests an answer to that mystery. To some degree, the big business interests are paying a price for having relied on these characters in the first place, relying on them to cut taxes and regulations, which they did. Well, the German cartels fighting their class war against the revolutionary workers' movements of the 1930s mistakenly thought they could control the Nazis. The U.S. elites may not have realized that the passions of the radical right today could not be easily kept on a leash. So how are we to understand these Tea Partiers? Here is Henwood again, citing a piece by Michael Lind. The roots of the Tea Party are in a kind of neo-Confederate structure of people who want to preserve their class privileges, very much articulated through race. And they are a very, very sizable portion of the Republican Party. And the core of this is a group of people that feel like the country is being taken away from them by a new minority-majority country. And all of their familiar touchstones are being smashed. They feel like they're fighting a heroic kind of lost cause, and they're willing to do a lot of damage to try to get their way. They look at things like Obamacare and see that as a way of subsidizing a minority electoral bloc that will push the government in ways that they don't like. Well, Francis Fox Piven says of these people, including the Koch brothers, that they are terrified by their loss of status and political centrality as the country changes demographically, making white folks a minority in a nation where the majority of voters will soon be people of color and poor people. When Tea Party people scream at their rallies, "Take it back," that's a scream that reflects the loss or threat to the sense of ownership. Well, what is it about the Affordable Care Act that its opponents, like the Koch brothers, are so afraid of that they use potentially catastrophic means to block it? Well, here's what Piven says about that. They're afraid of the people. They're afraid of democracy. They're afraid that their extravagant extortions from the American economy, from our wealth, will be suddenly brought to light and we'll come after them. That's true on the populist level when the crowds scream, "Take it back," but I think it's also true among the very rich funders of these populist movements. So for Piven, the passions that drive the right's potentially catastrophic campaign against Obamacare is not only religious, it's also the fear of losing the class war. The Affordable Care Act, in their eyes, could be the entering wedge of universal, single-payer health care. And with that could come a spreading realization that it is possible to organize our lives together so that no one is in need and everyone is free to pursue careers and callings that are satisfying and useful to others regardless of their ability to pay. No one needs to be forced into whatever jobs will fatten the coffers of privately owned and managed capital. This would lead to the victory of the multitude in the class war and an end to the power of capital. This is the most fundamental reason there is panic in the suites about Obamacare. I'm Clayton Morgridge with the Well-Read Red.
You are listening to the Old Mole Variety Hour on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. That was Hazel Dickens singing a version of John Talley's "Are They Gonna Make Us Outlaws Again" that a radical musicologist turned me on to the other day. I am now going to turn you on to Jen Davis and Ani Haynes to tell you why you need to turn into KBOO.
Well, why? Why is obvious. You're listening to the Old Mole right now, and that means that you have incredibly good taste, and you want that information that is going to inspire you, that is going to inform you, and that, in fact, gives you analysis from deep underground. It is an important show to support, and KBOO is an important resource to support with just a little of your money right now. Please do give us a call, 877-500-5266. Or online, you can donate at kboo.org. We have a lot of people to thank. You thank those people,
yeah,
Jen.
Yeah, Karen in Northeast, a new member. Thank you so much. Welcome to the beautiful world of KBOO. We love to have you. Marilyn in Southeast has renewed. Tim in Albany has renewed. Naomi in North Portland renewed. Sheila in Northwest has renewed.
Yay.
Thank you so much. We really depend on your support. You can go to kboo.fm and give us some help right now so that we can keep this fantastic programming on the air. You can get in-depth information that you need. Today, we're learning about ways that we can get better health coverage for our families, for those that we love, for ourselves. And we are learning about the things that we need to do to help protect our rights so that we can get better health coverage.
That's right. And it's this kind of information that makes a difference to our lives, I think. And I'm guessing you're listening, and that's why you're listening. It is making a difference to your life. So please do give us a call of your support, 877 800-500-5266. You know, we've had so much generosity. The show inspires people taking collective action, working together, that we have actually met that $600 match, which is a beautiful and phenomenal thing.
Thank you.
And
so much.
Another member has stepped forward to say that he would match the next $100 in. So the matching period continues. We are looking to make a $100 match right now, and you can do it. 877-500-5266.
That's right. That is the time to call when we've got that matching period. Did you know that 83% of the money that it takes to run this station 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, comes directly from individual contributions? Don't think that your contribution is too small or is not necessary, because it is. We mm-hmm. are real community radio. We put the community in community radio. You can come down here to the station and meet us today. This is a totally friendly, diverse group of folks. You will find real reflection of your friends and neighbors at KBOO, in your neighborhood, right here at KBOO.
And you can stop by 20 Southeast 8th, just off of Burnside, on beautiful scenic Southeast 8th Street. We'll give you a tour. You can see how you can participate and where your money goes. It's a beautiful thing to do. Or if that's not convenient, just pick up your phone right now and dial 877-500-5266.
Thanks, Ani and Jen. Well, to wrap up today's show in view of so-called Columbus Day, if you had grown up in the last 20 to 50 years, you probably went to a school where in kindergarten or first grade we dressed up as Indians and pilgrims. It has also been known, probably for at least as long, that Columbus Day covers over many atrocities that have founded this nation. Well, Red Fran Michelle brings us an examination of that history and of the challenging of that history that has become more and more prevalent in education.
Good morning, and best wishes on Indigenous Peoples Day. Well, that's one name for it. The U.S. federal government still recognizes it as Columbus Day, as does Google's holiday calendar, and the state of Oregon ignores the whole question. But the old history that proposes that Columbus discovered America in 1492 has been widely challenged. In 1992, Berkeley, California renamed the holiday Indigenous Peoples Day, and other localities have subsequently followed suit. In much of Latin America, the date of Columbus's arrival is commemorated as Dia de la Raza. In the log that Columbus kept during his voyage, he described how the friendly Taino Indians who greeted his ships would make fine servants. With 50 men, we could subjugate them all and make them do whatever we want. Searching for gold, Columbus reported that, "As soon as I arrived in the Indies, on the first island which I found, I took some natives by force, in order that they might learn and might give me information of whatever there is in these parts." Though they found little gold, he took many Indian prisoners back to Europe, though most died on the way. In subsequent voyages, more of the Arawak people were enslaved, killed, sent back to Spain, and forced to harvest gold. Columbus's men ordered everyone over age 13 in one island province to bring in a quota of gold. Indians who failed to meet the quota had their hands cut off and were left to bleed to death. This war against the native population included hangings and burnings. Mass suicides followed. Virtually all of the Taino people were dead within two generations. Writing in the early 1500s, Bartolomeo de las Casas described Spaniards, driven by insatiable greed, killing, terrorizing, afflicting, and torturing the native peoples with what he called the strangest and most varied new methods of cruelty. The Spaniards thought nothing of knifing Indians by tens and twenties and cutting slices off them to test the sharpness of their blades, wrote Las Casas. My eyes have seen these acts so foreign to human nature, and now I tremble as I write. But these facts, and the critique of Columbus and his legacy that follows from them, has been only unevenly incorporated in standard textbooks on American history. As Bill Bigelow of Rethinking Schools has noted, recent textbook treatments of Columbus fail to urge students to consider how Europe incorporated the Americas into a world system that was exploitative and unequal, or to encourage students to inquire how these patterns of exploitation have helped determine the world we live in today. Elliot Sperber points out on popularresistance.org that Columbus immediately imposed the order of the Old World upon the one he invaded. The law of force, articulated in the European legal tradition's doctrine of conquest, which grants invaders legal title to the lands they conquer, was subsequently imposed throughout the Americas and beyond. Though this doctrine was formally abolished by the UN in 1974, insofar as it continues to determine the distribution of the planet's resources, the right of conquest in many respects continues to determine the course of our lives. And while it's crucial to remember the atrocities that Columbus and his successors committed throughout the world during the so-called Age of Discovery, it is equally important to recognize the fact that, though its forms may have changed, the underlying order that Columbus initiated, with all of its violent implications, continues to operate in politics, economics, and the law, that is, systematically, throughout the world today. As Bigelow puts it, in 1492, Columbus wrote, "Considering the beauty of the land, it could not but be that there was gain to be got." Treating everything from trees to water to human beings as exploitable commodities where gain was to be got was Columbus's gift to the world. It's a gift that keeps on giving. As Terry Hansen has reported on Indian Country Today Media Network, colonization and the corporate mentality that grew out of it have been ravaging Indian country for centuries. But since the 1800s, increased industrialization has stepped up the scale of destruction to Mother Earth. From the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico to the PCBs left at the General Electric Federal Superfund site in Mohawk Territory, industry has been as hard on the economy as it has been on Indian country. But indigenous peoples are in the forefront of today's battles to reclaim and protect the natural world and the health of the planet. The group Idle No More is perhaps the best known of the indigenous-led groups fighting to save the planet. As reported on KABU and elsewhere, Idle No More has been active since the Canadian government began pushing through a bill that undermines what little native land rights had continued to be recognized. In the past few weeks, First Nations groups in Canada have set up a blockade to stop shale gas exploration in New Brunswick, marched outside the Ontario Premier's house to protest high mercury levels, forced a coal mining company in British Columbia to delay exploratory drilling, and have called attention to the impact of hydroelectric projects on sea ice. Similarly, in the U.S., the group Honor the Earth, co-founded by Winona LaDuc, has been working to keep fossil fuels in the sacred ground and protect our water through opposing the coal expansions, nuclear reboot, fracking expansions, and pipeline expansions in our territories. This past week, the North Dakota oil spill, that was kept secret for 10 days, has gotten attention from LaDuc and the Oglala riders whose Pine Ridge Reservation is not far south of the spill. Activists are patrolling part of the proposed KXL pipeline route, protesting dirty oil. Groups like Red Oil and the Indigenous Environmental Network are also active against a carbon offset program the California government looks poised to approve, according to which California would use forests in Mesoamerica, the Amazon, Africa, and other partner jurisdictions with tropical forests as sponges for the carbon pollution of companies such as Chevron and Shell. This plan would thus allow these industries to avoid reducing their polluting emissions. Native Indians continue to face serious threats to their basic existence, today because of government policies that allow mining and energy extraction corporations to pollute their water and land and steal their resources. But in light of the recent report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, we all have plenty of reason to decry Columbus's legacy of treating everything from trees to water to human beings as exploitable commodities where gain was to be got. For the Old Mole, this has been Fran Michelle.
Nobody cares, nobody sees, we make no headlines, dying by degrees. What choice do we have? They have taken our home. We wait in silence. Our time will come.
They tear from the earth. They leave nothing behind. Only raw scars on a wasteland. Someday and soon, the mountains will shake. The drum will sound. The sun will turn black. And from out of the dust and from under the earth, we will arise, proclaiming this truth. All life is sacred, all life is one. From the rocks on the mountains to the children unborn. And the walls will topple, and the fences will fall, and the scars will be healed, and the earth will be whole.
You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. This is the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'd like to thank Bill Resnick for his guest today, John James, whose book you can request with your KBOO membership, and a shorter interview with Michael Cox summarizing the Affordable Health Care Act for Oregonians. Clayton Morgeridge brings us a class political perspective on the resistance to the Affordable Health Care Act, and you just heard Fran Michelle talking about the inglorious history of Columbus Day. Now going to turn it back to Ani and Jen to tell us why you need to call in before the top of the hour to make your pledge.
Well, again, I think that's obvious. Why you need to call in is because KBOO relies on you, community members, to support us so that we can remain independent and that we can continue to bring you the hard truths that are sort of buried over in our day-to-day mainstream society. That's what the Old Mole does. It's so important. 877-500-5266. You can be a part of this effort. It, in fact, this effort requires your participation in order to keep going strongly. It is important that you take this time to give now. We have $100 left to match for this hour, thanks to a second generous KBOO member bringing forth his resources to encourage yours. 877-500-5266.
Or you can go to kboo.fm or come on down and meet us at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We would love to meet you. Just come on in the door. You can get a tour of the station and meet all these great people that work so hard every day, all these volunteers to help bring this fantastic, deep, rich resource of news and information and music to you. 877-500-5266. Jesse, Rich, David, they're all waiting to talk to you on the phone. They're all nice folks. We're hoping to hear from you. You know, we were just hearing about the recolonization of our resources on this day we know as Columbus Day. This is something that so many people here in our area are very aware of, whether you've been concerned about deforestation, about coal exports, about our water resources being taken by Nestle, about genetically modified organisms in our food. These are all things that we need to be concerned about, and you are getting information about that every single day here on KBOO in a deep and rich way that you probably will not hear on any other station on the dial, unfortunately. We really are able to bring to you wide sources of information with really in-depth reporting.
It's true, and that is why we need you to support us at 877-500-5266, so that our volunteers who are trained here in the arts of investigative reporting and putting together public affairs programs and bringing forth the information for you, the community, that's part of what we do here at KBOO. We embody Jello Biafra's maxim, don't hate the media, become the media. And we don't just embody it, we actually give that life. We bring new volunteers in every month to the station and provide training and opportunities to really explore what it is your passion is here at KBOO. It's important that the community steps forward now to support it so that we can continue opening the airwaves up to community members just like Bill Resnick, just like Joe, just like Fran Michelle, just like Clayton Morgeridge, and all of the Old Moles. And it's important that you are one of our supporters, our sponsors. Please put yourself in the picture at 877-500-5266. You know, I realize that in listening to Fran Michelle's Rel Wed Red, that this station, KBOO, is where I first started rethinking Columbus. And it was about 20 years ago I was listening to Howard Zinn on this station. And really, it changed a lot of my ideas about our history and how we got to where we are today. And seeing repeating patterns of that history, that's something that KBOO is there for every day of the year, and it's important that you continue this legacy at 877-500-5266.
And this is a perfect time to call, the perfect time to call, because you can double your money without an extra dollar from your pocket, because we still have that $100 pledge that someone is going to match your gift. So if you can do $100 right now, then you'll actually be giving $200 in this magic moment. So call 877-500-5266. You can do $10 a month. You can do $100. You can do $1 a day. Whatever is your comfort zone, we appreciate it all. 83% of the fund money that we use to run our station is directly from individuals. So your gift is super important to us.
It looks like we have about $500 left of our goal this morning, and we can do that with your help right now in the next minute if we get all those phone lines lit up again. And I know we can. I know you're listening. It's important. Right now, as Jen said, this is the perfect moment. Do not wait. Do not put it off. This is your time. 877-500-5266. Put your money where your brain is. Put your money where your heart is. Put your money where your community is. Do that thing. Take right action that will actually enrich us all. 877-500-5266. We have three lines open right now, and with your call, we can reach that goal. We can fill up those lines, and we can make sure KABU stays strong. 877-500-5266.
Thanks, Ani. And Jen, you are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 10 o'clock. Up next is Air Cascadia after these messages.
Tune in to KABU Thursday, October 17th from noon until 4 p.m. for 4 hours of the best in African and Afro-Caribbean music with DJ Charlie of the World Beat Connection and me, Andy Hosh from Africa Oye, as we jointly occupy the air room spinning some of our all-time favorite grooves. That's the World Beat Connection and Africa Oye's Fall Membership Drive Special. Noon to 4 p.m., Thursday, October the 17th, here on KBOO Portland.